Hello, beautiful people. How are you? I hope you are doing well. I am currently not based where I normally am when I record these things. I am out of town briefly, so forgive whatever difference there is in the acoustics. I'm also not using the same recording device that I typically use. So if this sounds remarkably different than what it normally sounds like, that is why. Yeah, pretty much that's it. And then in terms of church announcements, I am going to be taking a hiatus from Thoughtful Threads after this episode. So, this will be the last one for a little bit of time while I compile some more topics of conversation that I think we can have roundtable discussions about. And just actually let life happen in order to have content to share. I think in today's world, in the way, social media and technology is set up today, it's kind of like a what have you done for me lately kind of world, which is pretty antithetical to how art is made or just how ideas are formed, period. So I actually need to go out in the world and experience it in order to have opinions and ideas that are formed because of it. So I need to give myself the time and space to do that. So this will be the last pod for the foreseeable future. And I hope that you've enjoyed season two as much as I've enjoyed making it. So that's that on that. So let's talk about the possible future of fashion, in particular, fashion marketing and who that ideal target demographic will be. Because I think, according to some sources that I've read and researched, that target demo might be changing, which is kind of unheard of. Usually, when you have a target demo, you're pretty much in that pocket and you don't really deviate. So, for the fashion industry to be kind of thinking about changing how they've been marketing and who they've been marketing to, I think speaks to a situation that is probably much more dire than we would imagine that it is. Because, again, to change your target demo or to consider changing your target demo as an industry definitely means that the results are not resulting. So, pretty much, I was perusing Business of Fashion, which is a great resource. And there was an article that caught my eye about the luxury fashion industry changing its approach to its target demo. And instead of trying to court younger Gen Z and I guess younger millennials as well, instead of trying to court them, they are thinking about courting some more mature audiences, namely boomers, which is completely antithetical to what marketing usually is. Boomers and Gen X mainly. And the obvious reason is that there's more money involved there, right? Boomers and Gen X have had more time on this earth to build up their careers, build up their businesses. And so as a result, they have more or less, more disposable cash to go around. They have more discretionary income than people who are younger, who are just starting out in their careers, and also people who inherited a world that is just absolutely horrible right now, especially in terms of making money and having a fruitful career. It's not looking great for a lot of folks, even folks who typically, even 10, 15 years ago would be in a very good position financially, even they are struggling. And the Gen Z, younger millennials, shoot, and the older millennials too, I think just as a whole, those two generations of people are feeling the strain and feeling the trickle-down effect of Reaganomics and how much it has bankrupted us financially and morally and all of the things. And so as a result, we don't have any money to buy fancy stuff because we would rather put that money towards, if we do have the money, a lot of us in these younger generations are looking to put that money towards experiences and more intangible things than a nice bag or a nice pair of shoes, like an older generation might be more willing to do. You know, we would rather, if we have $1,000 in our pocket and we have the choice between a handbag and a cruise, more or less, people who are from these younger generations, millennial and Gen Z, they are going to choose that experience. They're going to choose that cruise, that concert, that immersive exhibition, whatever the case might be, over some, you know, exotic skin handbag or shoes or something. It's not as important to them. And these companies are not in the business of selling intangible goods. They are starting to. They're starting to have some more experiential designs, which we can talk about next season, because I think that that's going to be like the next wave for these designers. Stuff like, you know, immersive pop-ups, like Chanel did that diner for their fragrance in Brooklyn a couple of months ago. Stuff like that. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future, but that's neither here nor there. But currently, those types of experiences aren't really baked into the marketing plan, and they're not really baked into the objectives of the companies as a whole. They are still trying to be in the business of selling a tangible good. And the math is not mathing for a lot of these companies. A lot of them are not seeing a return on investment for all of the marketing push that they're doing towards these younger target demos. And so they're going back to the drawing board and thinking about where their efforts and their money is best spent and where they're most likely to see a return on that. And for a lot of people, they are saying that that ROI can be found in Boomer and Gen X clients. So it's tricky, though, because that client is not necessarily on the same channels as millennials and Gen Z, but at the very same time, they definitely could be. So it's a question of where to channel that effort, because people run the gamut nowadays, right? There are some boomers and Gen X who are strictly, you know, into kind of old school marketing. They still receive catalogs in the mail, for example. You know, they'll still place orders over the phone instead of doing it online, or, you know, they want to actually physically go into the store and have items shipped to them at the store, and things that younger generations don't do as much. So it is going to be a fine line, because, of course, if you're a company and you're for profit, you want to court as many possible customers as you can. So at no point do I think that these companies are going to shut out millennials and Gen Z entirely, and then Gen Alpha when their time comes. At no point do I think that they're going to be shut out, because why would you do that if you're for profit? But at the same time, if the most discretionary income is still being found with these older generations because they refuse to retire, that's another conversation though. How are we going to target them when they still are on these traditional mediums like TV? They still are watching cable, you know, they are still doing the catalog and the in-store. How can we split those marketing efforts evenly across all these channels? Because at the same time, in the same breath, a lot of them are also on Instagram, a lot of them are also on social media and perusing the internet, and they can be found there as well. So everybody's kind of staggered right now in a way that they weren't before. And it makes it harder to figure out where the best bang for your buck is. So that's definitely going to be a challenge for these brands if this is something that they want to pursue, and if this is a clientele that they feel they want to market towards more directly. And then on top of that, this kind of customer, obviously these are generalizations, everyone's different, there's always an exception, there's always an outlier. That doesn't need to be said, but I'll say it anyway, just to make that disclaimer and put it out there. But this customer, by and large, is used to a brick and mortar experience that is, frankly, a lot better and more hands-on than what we have come to expect in subsequent generations. Because, you know, they're from a time when this is how people paid their bills. Like, people worked full-time in a store and it was their livelihood and they made a very nice living off of it. And so they gave you a level of service that is commensurate with the salaries that they made. But as we all know, salaries have not kept up with the pace of inflation in this country, at least. So the level of service is on par with the money that they are making, which is not much. And even when you get to these very esteemed fashion houses, a lot of the times those SAs, those sales associates, are not really taking home that much money. And so it makes it harder on top of everything. You know, nothing exists in a vacuum. I love to say that. So on top of the fact that you can make a living wage back then, let's say this person's heyday was in the 80s and 90s. Okay, I definitely know that in the 90s, there was an economic surplus in this country. So I'm sure that carried over to a lot of different aspects of day-to-day living that made it a lot more bearable than it is now. And so that probably made everyone overall, you know, happier, more eager to please, more eager to help. And these jobs were still regarded as vital to society, whereas now it feels like being an SA, to me, I haven't been an SA in some years, and of course there's always exceptions, but in general, I just think there's this pervasive idea that this type of work is meaningless and that you're not really an expert in what you do and you're not really valued for what you do. And even just the experience of the customer, I think the customer's manners have dwindled as well. And overall, there's so many different factors that result in the fact that working in retail, in a service job of any kind, customer service of any kind, has been devalued to be like one of the worst possible things that you can do professionally. I don't think so, but I just think overall, there's this pervasive sense of like pity, honestly, for people who work in customer service or retail or anything of the sort. And that wasn't the case once upon a time. Once upon a time, that was an esteemed job. It was a career. People spent their entire careers being client advisors and personal stylists at these department stores and boutiques, and they were proud of what they did and they were proud to go to work every day and, you know, service their clients and have a client book and have that loyalty. And that's what that older customer might be more used to, because that was the norm back then. You know, it was the norm to have a personal relationship with your SA or your client advisor and have their phone number and call them and let them know, hey, you know, this is in. I know you were looking for something. I have things. I can pull a fitting room. Let me know when you want to come in. I'll pencil you in. Like, there was a relationship there that was built up over time that really doesn't exist anymore. A lot of the experience of shopping now, again, even at these luxury houses, is very transactional. You go in, you maybe get greeted warmly if you're lucky. No one really offers you a beverage anymore. No one really rolls out the red carpet for you anymore. Even if you are spending a ton of money, it's just kind of like, okay, what are you here for? This bag? Great. Stay right here and I'll bring it from the back. And they bring the bag out, they check you out, you leave. And that's the extent of the relationship. And by and large, that type of transaction does not satisfy that more mature client. So it's going to be an uphill battle in that sense, if you ask me, because the current sales associates that are in these stores, by and large, are from, you know, a millennial Gen Z generation. There are definitely people who work in these industries who are more mature. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they don't exist. They absolutely do. But I think that you're going to get a younger sales associate, client advisor, whatever you want to call them, more often than not, depending on where you're shopping. And so they are not used to a world where they receive customer service like that. And they're not used to a world where they shop like that. And so they have no frame of reference of how to deliver that level of service. And if these are the clients that you are banking on, literally and figuratively, there's going to have to be a complete overhaul of the in-store experience and how that works. And how are you going to incentivize the people who work there to do that, right? Because they don't feel the level of prestige and esteem from working there that past generations once did. Working there is not considered a career anymore, in large part because it doesn't really pay. And the level of respect for that career has dwindled dramatically over the years. So I am definitely curious to see how they will inspire morale in the people who work in these environments, because that in-store relationship for this boomer Gen X customer is everything, because that's how they are used to shopping. That's how they grew up shopping. And so if they don't feel that level of customer service is there, I can't imagine that they would want to transact. And I can't imagine if they do transact that they will continue to come back again and again. And if that person is not tech savvy, does not want to shop online because they want that full end-to-end experience, I mean, I really don't see any other way to reach them and get them to open up their purse. Like in the article I read in Business of Fashion, there is a retailer called J. McLaughlin, which I'll admit I wasn't even familiar with this retailer, but apparently it is catered to an older female customer, and they have several doors in Florida, which is a big retirement hub, as many of us know if you're native to the United States. So they are a big deal with that more mature customer. And in this article, they were interviewing one sales associate at one of their locations, and they said that they had a customer come in with an empty suitcase, and the customer just said, "I need you to pack for me 6 days of outfits," and literally pack them and put them in the suitcase so that I can just take it and leave. And the sales associate, the client advisor, literally packed 6 days worth of vacation outfits in this person's suitcase. The person paid for the total amount of the clothing and the accessories that were put in there. And then they literally left and rolled out the suitcase with the J. McLaughlin merchandise in it. You know, most young people are not doing that. Most young people are not even in a frame of mind to think that you could even ask a person in sales to do that. And even me, I haven't been on the retail floor in some years, but I'll never forget that experience. And when I did have older clients, you could always tell, just even if I couldn't see you, even if for whatever reason I didn't have eyes, the older client always expected you to go above and beyond in a way that younger clients never did. And this is even back then. This is like 10 years ago. So definitely nowadays with Gen Z at the register or on the sales floor, God bless them. I love you guys. You guys are great. But I don't know. Are y'all going for that? I feel like y'all are not going for that. Like if somebody came in to your store and was like, "Hey, I need you to just pack me 6 days worth of clothes, and then work with me and coordinate outfits for the next 6 days. Do you want to do that? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe that's fun for you. But what I'm trying to get at is that level of expectation, even walking through a door with an empty suitcase into a store and expecting someone to fill it up with stuff. You typically don't see people from the younger generations who would even assume that you would be willing to do that. So like that's the level of customer service that this boomer and Gen X luxury client is expecting. Or another example that they pointed out in the article was that a mature woman, mature female customer came in with the catalog that they send out. Because again, going back to that earlier point that we made, that this customer still kind of shops in a lot of the traditional methods that younger people don't, catalogs definitely being among them. The woman came in with the catalog and just pointed out everything she saw in the catalog that she liked, and her and the client advisor walked around the store finding the items that she pointed out and pulling them. And then eventually, however many hours it took to find all of the articles of clothing that she liked, she bought them all and then she left. But again, that younger client advisor, millennial, Gen Z, and maybe even Gen X, some Gen X, like, do you want to sit there for hours while someone just points to things in the catalog and you have to fish around for them in the store? Do you want to do that? I don't want to do that. I'll put myself out there and say, if I was still working on the retail sales floor, I would not want to do that. And I used to go above and beyond for my clients a lot of the time, but like, do I want to do that? No, but that's the level, especially with that older clientele, that is the level of handholding and customer service that they have grown to expect. You know, they grew up in the advent of the customer is always right. I can do no wrong. They are the generations that pioneered that ideology, literally. So you have to deal with all that comes with that. And these brands are going to really have to rethink how they incentivize their sales teams to work with these people, because to do all of that, you have to make it worth their while. The juice has to be worth the squeeze, right? So I would be interested to see how they try to incentivize the sales teams to work with these people, if this is who they want to court in the future. But if they can find a way to do that, I definitely think that it is worth their while for these luxury brands, because the fact remains that boomers and Gen X still hold a lot of the collective wealth of this country. They have most of the discretionary income, and we can definitely go back and forth about why that is. And, you know, that's probably for another pod if I ever get around to making one. But they are the ones who hold the majority of the wealth. And if you want that high spend customer, if you want those super, super affluent people who spend six figures with you every year, instead of that aspirational customer who maybe will save enough money to buy one or two handbags from you in a year, then yeah, it's the ROI is there. It's definitely there if they can figure out how to make this experience one that resonates with them. And just from a psychological perspective, I think boomers and Gen X are much more solidified in who they are as people compared to certainly like a Gen Z who is still very young and figuring themselves out and figuring out their core style and aesthetic and where they really thrive. There's a lot of experimenting at those younger ages, in your 20s, teens, certainly. Like, there is a lot of experimentation at that stage. And so as a result, it kind of feels like you're courting a fair weather client, you know, someone who's here today and gone tomorrow. Today, you have the it bag or the it shoe or whatever. And then 2 years from now, you'll never get another penny out of that client because they were only here for a good time, not a long time. Whereas I think that more mature demo, they know what they like. They've known what they've liked for quite some time because they've moved. Theoretically, they've moved past the point of experimenting and now they are solidified in who they are and what they like. And they just want to continue to build on that. Like for me, I know what I feel most comfortable in. I know the aesthetic that feels most true to me. I experimented for many, many years. And I mean, I was never really a trend chaser to be honest. And there's many things I owned in the past that I would totally wear today if I could still fit them. Cough, cough. But generally speaking, I don't think that I was the norm. I think the norm when you are younger is to experiment, is to try on different hats to see what you are and what you're not. And is it worth your effort? If you're a for-profit company, is it worth it for you to try and chase that person who changes their ideologies and changes their aesthetic every 10 business days? Or is it more worth it for you to go after this person who's, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, who has had a consistent aesthetic for the last several decades, who knows what they like, who has the money to buy at full price, won't try to haggle, won't try to get a better deal, and is not looking for a dupe, is looking to buy the real thing, and who will come back season after season if you continue to give her what she likes. So I can definitely see the case for pursuing that more mature customer. On its head, it seems like it makes perfect sense because she has more discretionary income and she is less likely to be a flip-flop. You know, she's not going to sell all the stuff she bought last season on The RealReal once it's out of favor with the general public and once it's no longer on trend. She's not going to give it to consignment or put it up on Poshmark and then tank your brand perception because all your stuff is on The RealReal and in all these consignment stores and now you don't feel as exclusive anymore. You know, if millions of people are doing that and tanking the perception of the brand over time, that's not going to be good for you in the long run if you're one of these brands. So you don't have to worry about that with a boomer Gen X customer in the way that you would with Gen Z. You know, some of them, millennials too, I'm not just going to harp on Gen Z. Some of the younger generations are, you know, they completely changed themselves over the span of a season. And everything you saw them wearing last season, they've sold it all or given it all away, or donated it to Goodwill, which again, all that tanks brand perception. And now they're in a whole new aesthetic, which they're going to get rid of next season too. And so that customer cannot be relied upon to be consistent. And you as a brand, you can't keep changing your brand ethos and your brand aesthetic every season to appease that person, because that kind of person is never satisfied. And as a brand, you should have a consistent look and feel, right? Like it's not normal for a brand to completely change its aesthetic every season. Like Ellery is Ellery. I've grown to expect Ellery is for a certain aesthetic. If you're kind of like a gothy chick, which I've told y'all, goth is like my vibe, my own interpretation of it. So like I like Ellery. I know what I'm going to get from Ellery every season. I like Vampire's Daughter. I know what I'm going to get from Vampire's Daughter every season. I like Courage. I know what I'm going to get from Courage. So I mean, Courage now looks different than it did in the 60s, but that is decades and decades of evolution, right? That's not season after season. So I know what I like. I'm consistent. If you're consistent, I'm consistent. And so I can consistently shop with you. And that's what these brands want. They want a customer who they can rely on. And at the end of the day, I get it. I'm not mad at that. And so it's just shocking to me just because it seems to go against everything that's ever been taught about marketing in the world that I've been in, which is that we want to capture that young customer and get them while they're still impressionable so that we form an opinion in their minds and that subconsciously we're the first thing that they think of. And, you know, kind of like the McDonald's effect, like you have your first Happy Meal, you associate that with good times, and then subconsciously you eat McDonald's because you want a pick-me-up because it reminds you of your childhood and like basically get them while they're young kind of thing. And so that's how I've always been told that this works. So the fact that there's anyone at all who's even deeply considering doing a 180 and being like, actually, I don't want to capture you when you're young and impressionable. I want to capture you when you're older and established and solidified and, you know, pretty much solid in the way you do things and how you look and this, that, and the third. That's the complete opposite of what I've been told marketing is. So I think this is fascinating just from that perspective alone of like, wow, we are changing the core pillars of marketing here in real time. This is fascinating. And so I am very curious to see how this plays out. I'm very curious to see how they're going to appeal to that mature customer, because again, she has very high expectations and she's paying for them. But how does that trickle down to the actual person who's providing the service? Because I don't see that in-store experience being up to par for what that customer has grown up expecting and seeing around them in their youth. It's a very, very different time. So I think that will be the biggest hurdle for these brands, is elevating that brick and mortar experience. Because if somebody came into your store with a catalog in their hand and made you follow them around for hours, pointing out the stuff that they like, and you had to have a smile on your face the whole time, it can be done. It's just a question of who's going to do it. Because I don't know if these younger client advisors are going for that. And I can't say I'm mad at them. So you're going to have to make it worth their while, which will be very interesting to see how that plays out. And yeah, that's it for me, guys. Just wanted to come on here and chop it up with you about that, because I think it's super fascinating. And I really, really am curious to see what's in store for the future, because the face of luxury seems like it's changing every day. So yeah, the newsletter is still taking signups. We would love it if you joined us. If you go to any of my social media that I have linked in the bio of this episode, it'll say join us on Instagram and TikTok. That's where I am currently. All my handles are Thoughtful Threads Pod. And from there, you can find the link tree, which has the newsletter. Would love it if you signed up for it. And until next time, see you guys for the next season, and be safe. See you on the internet. Bye.